the message and song. At this time, I'm going to ask the deacons if they'll come forward. And also, Brother Buck and Miss Mildred, and also Joey and Miss Jasmine. Yes, sir. All the deacons. I want to have Joey, and if we can separate our active deacons on one side or the other, that'd be good. There we go. There we go. Come right on. Come right on.
Can you meet up here or not?
Yes. 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 This morning, we are holding an ordination ceremony for Brother Joey Rollins. Brother Joey has been elected to the Board of Deacons effective the 1st of July, and he's already met with the board, and we love him. We appreciate him so much. And likewise, also Buck Turner also has been elected to the deacon board, and so Buck is already an ordained deacon in the original Free Will Baptist of North Carolina. Therefore, he doesn't need to be ordained again. But we are, as we have our prayer of dedication for Joey, we will also ask Brother Buck, and also Brother Kerry Chestnut has also been reelected to the active board, and so Brother Kerry as well will be having a prayer of dedication for him as well. Is Barbara, will you please come forward as well? Barbara's way back there in the corner, and I'm so used to Kerry being with me here and there and so forth that it's unusual to be holding this ceremony for him, but it certainly is. Let me begin by sharing. It says in those days, in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, the Bible says, "In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called a multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Procurus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." And so this morning, as Brother Joey comes for the very first time to serve as a active member of the Board of Deacons, we are going to just to challenge him as we seek to ordain him to that office. Brother Joey Rollins, the appointment given you by your fellow members is one that should be entered into with solemnity and faith. No man is sufficient of himself for such a responsibility, but God who has called you is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, as you look to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will abound in every good work. It is imperative that you guard your conduct and speech. In a special sense, you are an example and a model. The measure of your godliness and zeal will be copied by others. Be careful of your walk and give attention as well to the office entrusted to you, as unto the Lord fulfill all its functions. By accepting this trust, you indicate your commitment and loyalty to the message, the doctrine, the Constitution, and worldwide ministry of Original Free Will Baptist. Therefore, be faithful that you may enter in with joy into the presence of the Lord, to whom we all someday shall render account. Brother Joey, do you now accept your office as a sacred and solemn trust from the Lord Jesus Christ, promising him and this church to faithfully fulfill your responsibility as a deacon of this church to the best of your ability? If so, please acknowledge by saying, "I do." Amen. Will you strive with God's help to be an example of Christ in the midst of those whom he has set you as leader, holding the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience? If so, please acknowledge by saying, "I will." Can I have the congregation stand at this time, please? Do you, the members of Powhatan, acknowledge and receive Brother Joey Rollins as your deacon, entering in with him into the spirit of the vow he has just made to God and to this church? If so, please acknowledge by saying we do. Do you promise to honor him in the Lord, encourage him, cooperate with him, and pray for him in his ministry, as the Word of God admonishes? If so, please acknowledge by saying, we do. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to ask Brother Buck and Mildred, Brother Joey, if I could get the active deacons, maybe two on this side. We're going to have a prayer of dedication. And Brother Carey and Barbara right here in the middle. There we go. Can we face the altar, please? Can we kneel at this time? That's all right. That's okay. The congregation, please stand. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we take this opportunity this morning, Father, to dedicate and to commit, Father, Brother Joey Rollins and Jasmine, Father, in the ministry and service to Thee, Father, as we dedicate, Father, in this prayer, Joey, to the service as a deacon in this church. Father, we pray for him and we pray for Jasmine. We ask You, Father, to bless them in their service and in their ministry, Father. And we ask it in the Lord's name. Likewise, Father, as Buck and Mildred come, and as well, Father, and Buck again takes an active part in the leadership of the church, Father, as a deacon here at Powhatan, we also pray for him. We pray for Mildred, Father. We just ask You to bless them, Father, and give them wisdom and understanding in how to lead Your people. And likewise, too, Father, for Carrie and for Barbara, Father, we thank You for them and their longtime service here at Powhatan Free Will Baptist Church. And we just ask You, Father, we thank You for them. We ask Your blessing upon them as well. And we just petition You, Father, on their behalf, on the behalf of all three of these new deacons, Father, that You bless them, give them wisdom and understanding as they seek to lead Your people. Father, You bless, You get praise, get honor and glory, for we ask these things in Christ's name and for His sake, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you, girl. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, Buck.
Thank you.
God bless you, Milton. Amen. This morning, this morning, if you've got your Bible, I want you to open to Deuteronomy chapter 4, the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And I'm going to be sharing from verse 5 through verse 9, but before we get started, I want to read one verse from the book of Psalms, Psalm 33:12. The writer of the psalm says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance." Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. This morning, I want to share some quotes about liberty and freedom that I found over the internet as I was preparing for this message this morning. Dwight David Eisenhower said this about liberty and about freedom. He said, "Freedom has its life in the hearts, in the actions, in the spirit of men, and so it must be daily earned and refreshed. Else, like a flower cut from its life-giving roots, it will wither and die. It will wither and die. Thomas Campbell said, "The patriot's blood is the seed of freedom's tree." The patriot's blood is the seed of freedom's tree. And then Abraham Lincoln said, "Those who deny freedom to others deserve it not for themselves." And the former Vice President Dick Cheney said, "It is easy to take liberty for granted when you have never had it taken from you." It is easy to take liberty for granted when you've never had it taken from you. And then the Lord Jesus Christ in John 8:31-32 said this, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, 'If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what?'" That's right, the truth shall make you free. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, Moses is speaking to the children of Israel as they are poised to cross over the Jordan River and to go into the land of promise. Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning in verse 5, it says, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whether you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all of these statutes and say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.'" Even though the nation of Israel be among the smallest nations of the world, she is admired today even by her enemies for her great courage in the face of potential disaster and for her people's willingness to give their lives for the cause of national freedom and independence. Surely this great nation is even today a wise and understanding people. God goes on to say through the lips of Moses, "For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for?" Some folks have said that God doesn't deal in the affairs of Israel anymore. But I tell you that God's ears and God's eyes are open always to the cries of his people, and all of those that oppose God's people, the Israelites, walk on a cindered path. For in Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8, God makes it clear that he that touches Israel touches the apple of God's eye. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob is still the God of Israel today. And in verse 8 of Deuteronomy chapter 4, Moses goes on to say, "And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day?" My friends, today the law of the land for so many nations is patterned after the Ten Commandments of the God of Israel. Every commandment speaks to the heart and the soul of men. First, it speaks to our relationship with God. Second, it speaks to our relationship with man. And thirdly, to the selfish condition of our own hearts. Thirdly, to the selfish condition of our own hearts. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 17 and 18, where God has laid out the Ten Commandments, the last commandment God gives, he says, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise and the trumpets and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. God made his message known to the people, and he made it known in a powerful way. God fully intended to impress upon his people the importance of his word by pouring it out with thundering and with lightning. And just before God pours out his judgment upon the wickedness of this earth in the time to come, the Bible teaches that it will be preceded by lightning and thundering. God expects us to honor his word. And again, verse 8, "And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest thou depart from thine heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. It is important, it is most important, that we not forget the Lord, we not forget His Word, we not forget His great blessings and His great promises. It is important and most important that we pass these great truths on to our children, that they in turn may pass them along to others. Listen, we are a nation presently of free men and women, not because we are a stronger people, not because we are a wiser people, and certainly not because we are a good people. We are a nation of free and we are a nation of free men and women because God ordained us to be so, and we will continue to be so as long as our nation has some semblance of faith in God and does not trample upon the head of God's chosen people, the nation of Israel. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning with a heavy heart, Father. We come to You this morning, Father, burdened. And yet, Father, we come this morning with praise on our heart as well, too, Father, because we know that our nation today is not what it used to be 50, 60 years ago. But, Father, I believe there's still hope. And I believe this, as the prayers of God's people go up and intercede on behalf of what is happening in our nation today, that You are still on the throne, You're still able to turn, You're still able to minister and to comfort and give peace and secure and rebuild, Father. But Lord, this morning, we thank You for the many blessings of life that You've bestowed upon us. Father, we thank You that we've been born in this very nation that's the greatest nation on the face of this earth. Lord, this morning, as we have an opportunity to share, we ask You, Father, to minister to each one, minister to each heart, Father, and bless. And You get praise, get honor, and get glory. Amen and amen. Dr. Harold White, a Baptist minister and renowned Bible teacher, speaks about the goodness of America in his lecture entitled, We Have a Great Heritage. And I want to share with you this morning the fine points that Dr. White makes about our nation. First of all, I want you to think for a moment about the word heritage. Heritage. What does heritage mean? Heritage means something that is passed down from generation to generation. Of all the people born in this world, most gathered here this morning, most of those gathered here this morning were blessed to be born here in the United States of America, the land of the free and the home of the what? Brave. The land of the free and the home of the brave. Dr. White is saying that the great heritage, the great nation that belongs to us today, is the nation our forefathers fought for, our forefathers died for, and just five, not just five or six generations ago, but as recently of one, as one or two generations ago, and it is a fight that goes on today. Freedom is not something that we can sit back and say that we own. Freedom is not something we can sit back and say that we own. If we owned freedom, there'd be no need for an armed force of the United States. Is that right? If we owned freedom, we wouldn't need a United States Army, we wouldn't need a United States Air Force, a United States Navy, or a United States Marine Corps. Freedom is not something we own. Elmer Davis, a journalist and author, said this, "This nation will remain the land of the free only so long as it is the home of the brave." And Thomas Campbell said, "The patriot's blood is the seed of freedom's tree." Yes, that's right. That's right. The patriot's blood is the seed of freedom's tree. It may very well be possible and necessary for us again to shed our blood to maintain the freedom that our forefathers have passed on to us down through the years. Freedom is not free. Freedom is not something we can just hang our hats on and say the work is done. The defense of freedom is an ongoing process, something that must be defended and, if necessary, fought for almost on a daily basis. But the fight is not just on the battlefields with guns and ammunition. It's a fight that goes on politically in the corridors and the great halls of the U.S. Capitol, the Supreme Court, and the individual state capitals throughout this great country. It's a fight that ought to be in the hearts and the minds of every American citizen who loves freedom and covets the precious right to vote for their elected, to vote for their leadership. Dwight David Eisenhower said, "Only Americans can hurt America." General Eisenhower said, "Only Americans can hurt America." Abraham Lincoln said, if destruction be our lot, we must live through all time or die by suicide. Only Americans, Eisenhower says, can harm or hurt America. If you're a citizen of the United States of America and you don't exercise your right to vote, you hurt America. Our forefathers were brave enough to sacrifice life and limb for the cause of liberty and freedom. They have passed the benefits of their sacrifice on to you and me today. And what will we pass on to our children? I tell you, what we're passing on to our children today is sad. It's sad. From a national standpoint, I hope that somehow at home we're passing on a wonderful blessing of a spiritual relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's coming soon. He's the only one that matters. Elmer Davis said that this nation will remain the land of the free only so long as it is the home of the brave. So Dr. White writes this. Dr. Harold White writes this. He said, in a day when it is fashionable to be negative about the United States, many people have lost sight of what has been accomplished by this great nation. Newspaper headlines stress current problems. Television news focuses on the menaces to our society. Overpopulation, pollution, drugs, race problems, pornography, honesty in government are familiar themes to most of our citizens because of the news media. Yet with all of these difficulties and more, the United States still sets the pace for the remainder of the world. What is the great heritage of America? Dr. White asks. America has a great history. America has a great banner. And America has a great God. First, he highlights America as a great history. The first 4th of July was celebrated with guns and bells and bonfires. And might I add, July the 4th is still celebrated with pomp and parades and shows and games and sporting events. But a terrible price was paid for our freedom. A terrible price was paid for us to be able to go and come as we please and to enjoy all of these activities to celebrate the 4th of July, the birth of our nation. To make America the great land that it is, 56 Americans pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. And it was no idle pledge at all. 9 signers of the Declaration of Independence died of wounds during the Revolutionary War. They never saw the victory come to pass. 5 were captured or imprisoned, in some cases with brutal treatment. The wives and the sons and the daughters of others were killed and jailed and mistreated and persecuted or left penniless. One was driven from his wife's deathbed and lost all of his children in the war. The houses of 12 signers were burned to the ground. 11 lost everything they owned. Most were offered immunity, freedom, rewards, the lives and release of loved ones if they would break their pledge word and seek the king's protection. No signer defected or changed his stand throughout the darkest hours. Their fortunes were forfeited, but their honor was never lost. Their honor, like the nation, remained intact. These men died, many without ever seeing the victory, and most have been completely forgotten by their countrymen. How many of the signers of the Declaration of Independence can you recall this morning? Probably very few. This does not really matter. What does matter is that we not forget their sacrifice and we remember that freedom comes at a high price. And so America has a great history. And America has a great flag, a great banner. For more than 90 years, it has been the banner of hope and freedom for generation after generation of Americans. Born amid the first flames of America's fight for freedom, it is a symbol of a country that has grown from a little group of 13 colonies to a united nation of 50 sovereign states. Planted firmly on the high pinnacle of American faith, its gently fluttering folds have proved an inspiration to untold millions. Men have followed our great flag into battle with unwavering courage. We look upon our flag as a symbol of national unity. So long as men love liberty more than life itself, so long as we treasure the priceless privileges bought with the blood of our forefathers, so long as the principles of truth, justice, and charity for all remain deeply rooted in hearts, our flag shall continue to be the enduring banner of the United States of America. America has a great flag. And America has a great God. Psalm 85, verse 1 says, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. This morning in our Sunday school class, we were talking about, Brother Dan had shared with us, asked us a challenging question. He said, what do you think heaven's, just stop and think about heaven. He said, what in the world could heaven be like? What many people have ideas about what heaven's going to be like, but what do you think heaven's really going to be like? And he had an opportunity for the members, the students to share. And there's one of the things that came to light, though, was that as beautiful as this nation, as beautiful as this world is that we live on, God's probably going to have more. It's going to be even more beautiful throughout the universe or wherever heaven is. And by the way, heaven is where the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ are together. You know, the kingdom of heaven was on this earth at one time when Jesus walked among his disciples. But just think about this. What is heaven going to be like? The most beautiful points that you can venture or visit on the face of this earth, the most beautiful vacation places that you'd want to go, Hawaii or wherever, the most beautiful places are under a curse, are under the curse. The same curse that came when Adam rejected the word of God and listened to his wife and they were both escorted out of the garden. This earth is the most beautiful place on the face of this earth is only a cursed place. One of these days, God is going to open up the heavens and we're going to soar forever and ever. America has a great God. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 7, As we shared this morning, what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? God has wonderfully blessed this nation. A French statesman once wrote, there is no country in the world where the Christian religion retains a greater influence over the souls of men than in America. And there can be no greater proof of its utility and of its conformity to human nature than its influence is powerfully felt over the most enlightened and free nation of the earth. That's a wonderful compliment. That's a wonderful compliment. Moses told the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 7 and then 9, what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? And then Moses said, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them to thy sons and to thy sons' sons. The heritage that we have received from our forefathers ought to be maintained, and it ought to be a heritage, a solid heritage that we pass on to our children. Amen? Our forefathers have passed down to us a great heritage, a great history, a great banner, and faith in the one and only true God. And what are we passing on to our children? What are we passing on to our children? Do our children believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Psalm 33:12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. I truly believe that God has blessed America. I believe that with all my heart. But I believe that America somehow, we're moving away from the Lord. We've been moving away from the Lord. We've been influenced by so much other stuff. Outside stuff coming into the country. Outside stuff. We're so respectful of other religions, and yet the Christian faith is trampled on day by day. But listen, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. He's coming. And I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I hope you belong to Him too. And no matter what happens to this nation, by and by, we're going to a brand new world, a world in which the Lord Jesus Christ reigns supreme. Christ is coming again to set up His kingdom here on the earth. He'll be the Prince of Peace and the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. I'm looking forward to that. But will you be a part of that kingdom? Will you be a part of that kingdom? In our Sunday school lesson this morning, the writer said that when Jesus comes again, at the second coming of Jesus Christ, there'll be the great white throne, there'll be the judgment, and people will be cast into eternal judgment. People will be cast into hell forever and ever who were unbelievers. But I challenge, I tell you this, you don't have to wait for the judgment. You don't have to wait until after the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you die in unbelief today, you will go immediately into torment. You won't see the face of the Lord Jesus Christ for at least 1,000 years. And then when you go before Him, He'll say, "Depart from me, I never knew you, you who work iniquity." I tell you today, you need to grab hold of the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, because as Dan asked the question this morning, when is the rapture going to take place? When is the rapture going to take place? Anybody know? When do you think it's going to take place? Today. It could take place today. And that's the way you and I ought to live. My friend, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you need to grab hold of Him. The Bible says, if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And I know you hear me say that all the time. You hear me share that all the time, but it's so important. It's so true. It's so true. The heritage of this country is a godly heritage. But it just seems like somehow God is being pushed aside. And listen, you as a Christian, you're not going to be pushed aside. God doesn't push you aside. God's going to pick you up and He's going to carry you to a new place. And that's the reason we need to trust each and every day in the God who brought this nation into existence. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. We thank You, Father, for the many blessings of life that You bestow upon us. Father, we thank You for the courage and the strength and the sacrifice of our founding fathers. And not just our founding fathers, Father, but the forefathers who have gone in war after war defending the rights of people to be free. Lord, we thank You for our soldiers, men and women in uniform today, serving on foreign shores, Father, serving and fighting and seeking to liberate folks, that they might live as you intended for them to live, free. And You've come to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. And Father, I thank You for those that are in uniform serving on foreign shores. Father, we thank You also. We certainly don't set aside those that are home with us, Lord, because who knows when they'll be called out to defend this nation. But Lord, listen, we know that even now that we can begin to lift up in a serious vigilant way this nation, and pray for this nation, Father. And as Christians, that's our war. That's the war we ought to fight. That's the prayerful war, Father. We should lift up this nation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, this morning, if there's one here that doesn't know You as a personal Savior, we pray that today would be the day that they receive Christ as Lord and Savior, come out of the darkness and stand in that wonderful, soothing warmth of the Son of Jesus Christ, the light, Father, of truth, and be born again. Father, if there's one here this morning that's walking adrift from Thee, that's made a commitment to the Lord Jesus some time back, and yet, Father, for some reason, the life is not an active life serving You, I would pray that they'd rededicate their life to the Lord Jesus and walk afresh in Him. Father, do for these that have come this morning what they can't do for themselves, Father. Reach out, minister, allow the Holy Spirit to move. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. The invitation hymn is 606. If the Lord spoke to your heart this morning in any way, shape, or form, if you have a burden on your heart, you come and you bring that burden to this altar. Amen. Let's stand and sing.